In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit, one God. Amen. Very Reverend Father, Reverend Fathers, brothers and sisters in Christ, Christ is in our midst.
He is in our midst.
And blessed feast. Blessed feast. That one's easy. I say blessed feast, you say blessed feast back. Blessed feast.
Blessed feast.
There we go. All right. There's a great story. There's a really, really good book if you haven't read it. It's for quite some time, I don't know if it still is, but it was the number one selling book in Russia. It's called Everyday Saints. And it's a fairly big volume, but it's relatively short chapters that are divided up into a lot of different stories. And what it is it's the story of a monastery in the Soviet Union, in Soviet Union times and also post-Soviet Union times. And it was written by this gentleman, Abbot Tikhon. And great, great stories. And in one of the stories, he talks about a monk named Father Michael. Now, Father Michael was a carpenter for the monastery. So he built many of the different things that are, much of the furniture that was in the monastery, a lot of liturgical things, very beautiful, very, very skilled woodworker. And so he was working very, very hard on a project. And he worked and worked and worked and worked. And all of a sudden, he became so weak that he fell down dead. And some of the monks came around him, and one of them, who was a very holy father, Abbot John, they were there for a minute, and he goes, "He's not going to die. He's going to live." And prayed fervently over him, and sure enough, Father Michael wakes up. So Father Michael then says to the abbot who had just come in, he says, "Father, you have to give me the Great Schema." The Great Schema is the highest rank in monasticism. And in the Russian church, what it means is you no longer do your normal tasks. So he would no longer be a woodworker. All you do is pray. Well, you don't ask for the Great Schema. You don't ask for these sorts of things. They're given to you. And so it's not a normal thing to do. And so the abbot replied to him, What's wrong with you, you silly monk? You can't even die right. So, no. Then he came back the next day, and he looked a little visibly shaken, and he said, "Okay, I'm going to give you the blessing to have the Great Schema." And they don't really know why he changed his mind. The rumor at the monastery was that the founder of the monastery, who had been martyred, actually came to him in that night and said, "Give him the Great Schema." So this monk, Father Michael, when he took the Great Schema, he took a new name, which is what happens as you go through the ranks of monasticism, and he became Father Melchizedek. Well, Father Melchizedek was a very, very, very strict, very holy monk. He didn't speak a lot to other people. He really just spent his time in prayer and fasting and repentance. And the author of the story, Abbot Tikhon, used to finish up reading Psalms. Like, he would read Psalms, and then Father Melchizedek would come in and read Psalms. They'd trade off. There was always someone reading Psalms at certain times in one of the churches in this huge monastery. And so he had more interaction with them than most of the monks did, because generally he was just off in a cave by himself and didn't really interact with many people. And so he finally asked him. He finally got up the guts and said, "What happened when you were on the other side? What was this experience that shook you so much?" And Father Melchizedek was quiet for a minute with his head bowed, and Abbot Tikhon was really nervous that he had crossed the line, that he shouldn't have asked him that. And finally he said, "I was walking in a field. I was walking in a beautiful green field, and I came to a moat. And in the moat, it was muddy and dirty, and there were a bunch of broken pieces of furniture there. And I recognized it as being my furniture. And I didn't know what was going on. I just saw my furniture there, and I felt a presence behind me. And I turned, and it was the Theotoko standing there. And what she said is, 'You're a monk. All we wanted from you was just one thing, repentance and prayer. Instead of that, you give us all this woodwork.'" And so that was the experience that then he took and was revived and came back to life for his repentance. Today we celebrate the death, the dormition of the Theotokos. And death is a great theme in our theology. We have a remembrance of death. We have keeping in mind the time of our death. But it's not for fear of the physical death itself, but instead is to remember what happens afterwards, that there is a time when we will stand before our Lord in our own particular judgment, which happens right after we die, and then ultimately in the general judgment, the great judgment that will happen at the end of time. The one thing that we can learn from this story about Father Melchizedek, and that we can learn from the story of the Theotokos, this was hinted at in the gospel verse today. You know, they tell the story of Mary and Martha, and Mary is concerned with the one thing needful. Well, the writers of the church, the people who put, you know, the fathers of the church who put together the services recognize that that's not talking about Mary the Theotokos. They realize it's a different Mary, but it points to the fact that she held on to the one thing needful, which is Christ. And St. Ambrose of Optina said, "You must not be greatly troubled about many things, but you should care for the main thing, preparing yourself for death." And there is, like I said, this idea that we prepare ourselves for death in the same way that Theotokos prepared herself for death. How did she prepare herself for death? She did all that she could to continually unite herself to her son. She lived a life of prayer. She lived a life of repentance. She lived a life of service. It was her and the other myrrh-bearing women, those those widows, that funded the ministry of Jesus. They were the ones who took care of them, took care of the food, took care of all of these things. And so that's what she was focused on. She was focused on the one thing needful, which was Christ, which was her prayer and her repentance. There's a reason why, for most saints, we don't celebrate their birthday. We don't know what their birthdays are. It doesn't really matter to us. What matters is the day that they repose, the day that they die. And the reason why is because you have to run the whole race. That's what St. Paul talks about. He talks about having run the whole race, and that if a runner gets to the end of the race and falters and falls, then it doesn't matter. And so that's why we celebrate the repose and not the birthday. Birthdays are very, very exciting. But ultimately, it's how you finish your life. It's a good death. It's a good defense before the judgment seat of Christ, and a peaceful death that's important. And so that's what we celebrate today. Today we celebrate, it's very strange when you think about it, in the world's eyes, the idea of celebrating someone's death is kind of ridiculous, but we celebrate the death of the Theotokos, that she finished the race, that she ran the race well, and finished in a way that was befitting of one who has devoted their life to Christ. And so that's what we take from today. You know, it's interesting. There are people who, in the Protestant world, and some in the Catholic, and some in the Orthodox, who make a big deal out of making sure that there's equality in terms of women doing this role. But here's the thing. This means nothing compared to what the Theotokos did. She's our role model. I'm not your role model. Father Andrew's not your role model. None of the priests or deacons or the bishops, they're not your role models. The Theotokos is your role model. This is the one that we should seek to emulate. We're not looking to all be at the same place in terms of the office we have in the church. Instead, we're all looking to live a life of repentance and to live a life in which we put on Christ in the way that she did. And she's that great example. And that's why today we joyfully celebrate her passing from this life to being with her son. The other thing about this day is that we believe that we teach that her body was taken up. That's why we don't have any relics of her. So she is actually taken part in the resurrection at the end of the world that we all take a part in. And that's another reason why we celebrate. So today we celebrate the Theotokos, the Mother of God. We ask her to intercede for us that we may live a life of prayer and repentance to the glory of her Son and of the Father and of the All Holy Spirit, one God. Amen.